Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan at SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It is Season 7, Episode 8, and the Steelers come off their first preseason win of the season and only their third in about their last, 17 or 18 games, Dave. A very impressive performance, but as always, injuries are forced in first and foremost in the preseason. And I don't want to say the Steelers dodged a bullet, because the Steelers suffered a couple injuries that are significant, and we'll see how they impact things with both Cam Hayward and Marcus Gilbert.
Yes, and what a pleasant game to watch if you're a Steelers fan this past weekend against the Saints. Good to see Ben, A.B., Le'Veon Bell, all the guys that missed the first two preseason games. Boy, Ben was sharp as a tack. I broke down all of his throws. If not for a couple of drops, his numbers would have been even better. A.B. is just A.B. Le'Veon Bell, it was good to see him get banged around a little bit, although, you know, he's going to miss the first three games of the season. Not a lot not to like, especially when it came to, you know, first-team offense, first-team defense. And as you said, the big thing to watch now is the injuries coming out of the game. Cameron Hayward left with what sounds like a high ankle sprain. He's pretty confident he'll be ready to go by the first Monday night game against the Redskins. And yeah, we'll see. We know how those high ankle sprains can be troublesome at times. So keep your fingers crossed there. And Marcus Gilbert left with evidently a hyperextended elbow, which he seems to think won't keep him out of the opener, but it could cause him, you know, some pain and possibly some issues throughout the season here moving forward. So.
And, David, the significant news there is it sounds like he's already seen Dr. James Andrews. So at some point between Friday and Saturday, he got on a plane down to, you know, down in the panhandle down there in Florida and got this thing evaluated. So this is, you know, a significant thing. And I think one of the beat writers wrote the quote that he said to Gilbert, it's a good thing you're not a pitcher. So, you know, when you're talking about already having surgery, possibly having surgery after the season, this is a significant injury. Let's not joke around. I mean, we saw that Gerald Hawkins also went on the IR with torn labrum, and it's the situation. If you flip these guys, maybe the roles would be reversed, and Hawkins would be a guy who would be trying to get through the injury, and Gilbert would be on IR. So, you know, we'll see how this thing proceeds, and Gilbert has been adamant about being ready for the first preseason game. But, you know, this is something he's going to have to deal with all year long.
Yeah, we'll have to watch it. I mean, obviously, Gilbert had a great, I thought, great 2015 season. Not many people are going to argue with me on that, I don't think. And you know, we'll just have to watch it. Obviously, I think both of these guys, talking about Hayward and Gilbert, along with several other healthy guys, are going to sit out this preseason finale. Maybe it's a bit of a blessing that the Steelers open up on a Monday night, gives them an extra day for those injured players to rest. And, you know, I hear a little bit of rumblings that Marcus Wheaton might have got banged up a little bit in that game as well, too, against the Saints. And it was great to see him back on the field for the first time this preseason, but now you have to wonder, especially with a guy like Eli Rogers, as much time as he spent with that first team unit. You compare that, I mean, you add that to Sammy Coates being, I don't know, erratic. Is that the best way to describe it in the first
I think that's certainly fair.
Inconsistent in the Steelers' first three preseason games. We know what Darius Hayward Bay is and isn't easily at this point. So, you know, we'll have to watch that situation as well, too. So,
are you coming along to my 20 snaps a game for Eli Rogers?
If something's wrong with Wheaton, obviously I think you have to consider that. But outside of that, at this point, with the way they have used Eli Rogers specifically in the game against the Saints, he's going to get some snaps. It's just now it's a matter of, is he going to get 10? Is he going to get 15? Is he going to get 25? You know, when you talk about the 20 that you laid out there, that's a third of the game typically. You know, you consider an offense plays, what, 60 to 65 snaps on average. You know,
Are you going to take him in any of your late-round fantasy drafts?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately now, though, it's not like he's a secret now, right? Everybody really, really talking him up the last couple of weeks. I assume you'll be able to get him in some of these. Look, am I going to get him in round 18 of a couple of my high-dollar leagues? I doubt it. I might have to try to sneak him in there, what, round 13 or 14 or something like that. But this is a guy that can let's assume he does get 20 snaps or 15 to 20 snaps. 3 to 4 catches a game is certainly fathomable.
It gets him around 50 catches on the high side, right?
Right, and he is a guy that for all 4 years at Louisville caught, what, 42, 47 catches for 500-something yards. So he really has – he's been a pleasant surprise to watch during the preseason. A smart kid, going to be running a lot of those option routes. Does a great job. I think if you go back and look at one throw in or one play in particular in that game against the Saints, David, of how he – settled and got his body all the way turned around to Roethlisberger for an easy pitch and catch, you know?
Yep.
And I think on that play in particular, he kind of broke a tackle and then made sure to get the first down after that. And on another catch of his on a slant over the middle, I think it was kind of on a rub route that Xavier Grimble had you know, run straight up at the field and kind of rubbed Eli's defender off. If Eli breaks that tackle, you know, that's a 25, 35-yard gain and maybe even a touchdown on that. So definitely a pleasant surprise there. So it's probably not a matter of if a guy like Eli Rogers is going to get snaps early on in the season, and it now becomes a matter of how many is he going to get in this offense.
Yeah. So coming out of the game, those are the big things. I mean, again, Hayward and Gilbert both adamant that they'll be ready to play in week one. You know, Gilbert's situation, if it is what it is, and he's in a sling, and it's just you're gonna have to live with it, then he's gonna play. I would actually guess that Hayward, if you had to bet on one of them not playing, Hayward would be the one not to play. Just high ankle sprains is just something you can't really hurry along. They're just gonna heal as they heal. The amount of time he's got now, obviously we're talking 2 weeks to the day here, 14 days now from when the Steelers play their first game. So there is a significant amount of time since the injury. They can, you know, obviously then you basically, you know, cast that thing up with tape when he goes out there. But the question is, you know, what kind of damage can he do, and is it worth having him out there for the first game if it could impact him, his availability, you know, further down the season. So, I had heard during the game that Wheaton was dinged up, and of course, Mike didn't elaborate beyond the three injuries that he laid out. And I'm just trying to remember the other two. One was Shamarco, and that's significant because there is such a lack of depth in the secondary. He goes with a groin pull, which very much like Ross Ventrone in the season opener against the Lions, against the Eagles, or was it the Lions? I'm trying to who the Lions, right? When you leave, you know, five plays into the game, or you know, after the Steelers' first special teams play, which whenever that was, and don't come back, that means somebody's making a quick assessment that you've got a significant muscle injury, and you know, Shamarco's a guy. He's got a roster spot for sure, assuming he's not out 6 to 8 weeks. And then all of a sudden things become dicey. And there's just, you know, secondary depth is a massive issue for this team right now. Hagan went out. He wasn't a guy expected to make the team. So that was the other guy who was mentioned. So that's where things are. And then, Dave, they made the first round of cuts. And I think the only two noticeable guys in the first round of cuts down to 79. They still got four to go by tomorrow at 4 p.m. where punter Will Monday, which we all knew was coming, it's been a great camp for Jordan Berry. And then Jordan Zumwalt, who was a sixth-round pick out of UCLA 2 years ago. They carried a couple of years on the IR. No real surprise. I mean, linebacker depth is something the Steelers have in spades this year. So Zumwalt's gone as well.
Yeah, Will Monday gone on a Sunday.
gone on a Sunday. Right.
What we thought may be an interesting battle to watch between Jordan Berry and Will Monday was pretty much put to bed in that first preseason game, if you will. So no surprise there. Jordan Zumwalt, man, I mean, the writing was on the wall when guys like Alex Cazor were reporting during training camp that he switched to outside linebacker. You know, you could see this one coming a mile away. Mike Riley, another outside linebacker, was released. Wide receiver Levi Norwood waived. Tight end Michael Cooper waived. Isaac Blakeney waived. Defensive end Giorgio Newberry, who was one of their undrafted free agents, immediately signed there after the draft. Cornerback Julian Wiggum, who hadn't been with the team very long, and the young Pitt tackle, defensive tackle, Kanan Mosley Smith, was also part of those guys released. So now the Steelers have what? Have to trim four
to go.
Four, yeah. More by Tuesday at four. You have to think.
Did Dustin Vaughn was waived injured? Is it?
He was another one that was waived injured as well too. So he'll revert to IR after clearing waivers today, one would think. And then, as you mentioned, Gerald Hawkins was another move, being placed on the team's injured reserve list. And with him, that now means he's not a candidate to be the designated to return tag. So he gets the proverbial medical red shirt in all this. Now with the four moves left, you have to think the Steelers are looking back, kind of watching these other cuts going on around the league. I'm sure, the four names are pretty much identified at this point. You would think Jacob Hagan, who was injured the other night, has a strong chance of being one of these guys cut loose. And, it's probably not easy to pick out a handful of the other guys that'll be gone. They're probably just examining the lines, giving himself enough time here to get through a practice or two in case some other injuries happen during practice before their fourth and final preseason game against.
That's exactly what they're doing, Dave, and they're also just making sure they have bodies to play Thursday night. I mean, they got to make sure they've got enough offensive linemen, enough guys in the secondary, to just get through that game. I mean, you can work the running backs and you've got plenty of linebackers, but they'll have to make sure, particularly on the offensive line, that they're in a position to get through this game on Thursday. So that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, you would have to think maybe a young running back could be part of this part of these next four. Maybe a guy like Cameron Stingley. They seem to, or Mike Tomlin seemed to take to Brandon Brown Dukes a little bit. The kid out of Mercyhurst. So maybe he survives this round and then gets cut the next round and gets put on the practice squad. But yeah, you hit on it too. You got to make sure you have enough bodies for the offensive line as well. So it probably wouldn't be, assuming guys stay healthy, they'll probably have to maybe make a decision between a guy like Antoine Everett, who they signed a few, recently, and Shabazz Ahmed. Maybe one of those two guys are included in this next round of cuts as well too. So it whoever the names end up being of these final four, I don't think a lot of people are going to be floored by any of them.
No, I don't think there'll be any surprises. And Dave, let's just in terms of the game, I know you probably discussed it at length on Friday, but just we talked about how good Ben looked, how good Landry Jones looked, a really nice bounce back performance for him, 19-22. A really nice touch on an easy throw, but a good throw to Sammy Coates for the touchdown. It has to give people a lot of comfort in terms of where they are. And now I think more than ever, this maybe puts Bruce Gradkowski back in the mix. If they get through this game Thursday and they feel like, we're 2 weeks away from the opener. If they feel Bruce Gradkowski's 3 weeks away from being ready, well, maybe you carry Bruce Gradkowski on your 53 because he's not going to play in the first game, so you don't really have to make that decision, or maybe they just do something crazy, which if that were actually to be the case, maybe they cut Gradkowski and re-sign him after week one to not guarantee his contract. It's not – obviously the contract's not significant in terms of the dollars, but every dollar saved is a dollar saved. So I don't know. Maybe the Steelers would play some roster games in a situation like that with Gradkowski if he is injured and they know they don't need a third quarterback for that first game. They can literally sign him, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday after the Skins game and see if he'd be on the roster for the rest of the way. So that's one thought there. On the defensive side of the ball, I mean, really, coming out party, for if you can have such a thing in a preseason game for Jarvis Jones. Stephon Tuitt, it was a beast. Javon Hargrove was a beast. I mean, he was exceptionally good. And I'll raise my kind of – I would have risen it already if those guys played more snaps, but I'm already ready to say that he's going to play 20 snaps a game on the defensive side of the ball with McCullers playing about the same, maybe them each getting 20, because he is a guy who can rush the passer from the interior. And when you talk about, you know, guys who are as valuable as anybody in the league, you're talking about guys like J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, Geno Atkins. When you can get pressure from inside up the gut, there's nothing a quarterback likes less. And Hargrave has shown that he can do that. And against a not terrible New Orleans Saints offensive line, by the way, getting pressure, being explosive off the ball, just you know, those are three guys to highlight, Dave, and there certainly were some more as well, but really outstanding stuff from those three guys.
Yeah, and, you know, McCullers missing that game with, what, a knee injury, I think it was, against the Saints. This gives Hargrave – look, I mean, it comes down now, I think, to how comfortable you are maybe with Hargrave in the base defense as well too. If you think he, you know, and he's shown fairly decent at that when asked to do it, holding that point of attack, maybe he ends up being your starting base nose tackle here over a guy like McCullers. And then, you know, you definitely here's a good thing too now is, okay, you have a guy like Cameron Hayward banged up with that ankle. Let's say Hayward is able to make it for the opener against the Redskins. Well, now I think you've seen enough out of Hargrave that you can at least eliminate some playing time for Hayward first couple of weeks here by putting Hargrave in the nickel along with a guy like Stephon Tuitt, you know, and at least still be able to get after the passer in certain situations like that. So, boy, what a great talent that kid is. I keep going back to those several comments that Keith Butler has made over the offseason what do you say, dadgum, that he's got some quick feet, and that's exactly the best way to describe Hargrave. Some people are asking me on Twitter, you know, what kind of comparisons would you make of Hargrave after seeing him in these first three games, and I know people are just itching for me to say, well, you know, Aaron Donald or Geno Atkins. Look, I don't want to go that far just yet, but he definitely has shown that he can penetrate off the ball, quick off the ball, and you know, really looks like he's going to be a factor here in Pittsburgh for quite a few years. And can he become a Geno Atkins or a Aaron Donald? We'll see. But I mean, the early returns are definitely good, and I hate to pin him down with any kind of comparison after, you know, just three preseason games.
Yeah, look, he's been sensational, and this is what you hope for. And again, just emphasize that the D-line, which was a real question mark of a position coming into training camp in terms of depth as much as anything, because Hayward and Tuitt are as good as they come, now looks like a position possibly of strength with Hargrave and Ricardo Matthews kind of really making their presence felt in the preseason. And then seeing, you know, then having LT Walton and Keshad Lyons as two guys, you know, one will be the last guy on the squad, and one of the guys on the practice squad. So it's a position that now looks solidified. And the nice thing about it is it looks solidified, and it's not a position that you have to go to in the early rounds next year either. So.
And the thing about LT Walton, I think the best way to describe, even though he missed that second preseason game with the back tightness, I think the best way to describe him right now is he hasn't been awful. and he hasn't looked out of place. And, you know, he showed a couple of good things, I thought, in that opener against the Detroit Lions. And obviously, the team will carry six and probably maybe only dress five. Now, they might have to dress six depending on the status. You know, if they decide to dress Cameron Hayward and give him the go in the opener, maybe they decide to dress all other guys on top of it. But, yeah, I'm with you. Guys like Matthews, guys like Hargrave, and then the progression that LT Walton has made gives you – you know, some faith that, man, that this defensive line will be much more improved over the ones that over the one that they had in 2015.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just thinking if there are any other highlights, Dave, in terms of what we saw in the game. I guess let's touch on the linebackers. I mean, Jarvis, we've mentioned a bit. Shazier continues to be incredibly quick and incredibly quick to the point where he misses tackles behind the line of scrimmage because he's so explosive. That he, you know, they're high risk plays. He hasn't quite been able to get the timing down on some of these, but the fact that he can be in there and disrupt things is great. Harrison, we saw him just roll over Tony Hills. On the other side, I didn't see a ton from Chickalo. I'm trying to remember. There was one play where it was Chickalo, I think, the Matthews, Hargrave, and Harrison. It might have been Chickalo to it, Hargrave and Harrison. All four, and it's hard to tell if the Saints were trying to run a screen, but whatever they were running, they didn't run it well. All four guys beat their guys right off the snap, and they just buried whoever. I think it was still Breeze at that point in time. The Steelers just got great pressure, and that was a key.
Yeah, and here's the thing with Chickalo, though. That ankle injury definitely slowed him down. Boy, for all the hype that he had coming, you know, during training camp up until the time that he suffered really that injury, that ankle injury, hasn't been a lot there, to be quite honest with you. I mean, he did play, what, 36 snaps, I think, against the Saints. So, obviously, he's back healthy. He did play 10 special team snaps. The one I'm worried about, and look, it was good to see Jarvis do some good things the other night, but Bud Dupree is yet to play during the preseason. At this point, you have to wonder if he's going to play in the preseason finale against the Carolina Panthers. So now you're going to go...
I would just know.
You know, so now you're going to probably going to go into that game, the opener, you know, with James Harrison, with obviously Arthur Motes. Chickalo will dress for that game as well, too. And you hope, you know, Bud Dupree be ready to go as well. So, you know, the outside linebacker, there's reasons for concern there with the outside linebacker position. None of those, you know, outside of James Harrison, just providing that he continues to ward off Father Time, Arthur Motes did a few nice things there. But this team has got to find a way to get more pressure on the quarterback, as we've said all offseason here, with only four rushers. You know, if at possible or when given the opportunity to do so. I think Sean Davis has kind of turned the corner after that kind of rough start against the Lions in the preseason opener. It's still going to be interesting to see if that's the way they go, because there was a report by Jeremy Fowler on Sunday, saying that Artie Burns is back on the practice field, and with that, the Steelers are giving William Gay some time in the slot as the nickel. So it'll be interesting in the finale against Carolina, in a game where normally you don't see your, you know, many of your starters play a lot of snaps, if the Steelers show us any of that nickel or even maybe some dime, with Davis and Gay and, you know, maybe even some Artie Burns on the field.
I think we'll see the starters on defense play some because of that specifically. And Dave, one of the things that, you know, you want to talk about a couple negatives coming out of the Saints game is the Steelers left Lawrence Timmons on the field to cover the deep middle with the tight end. He couldn't do it. I mean, it was just maybe they wanted to get a last look and just, you know, confirm their doubts. But he was beaten a couple times trying to cover Kobe Fleener. And he's just – look, it's going to be a match. You start with Jordan Reed. You start week one with the Skins and just go through the list of teams the Steelers play the first couple weeks. And this is just – Lawrence Timmons is not a three-down linebacker anymore. And I think the Steelers realized after watching the tape that they can't have in those situations. So it was really interesting to see Fowler's report that Robert Golden was basically – you know, you can call it whatever you want. He's not playing inside linebacker, but he's on the field in that spot in a role where he can run with the tight ends. And that's a much better matchup for the Steelers to have that situation. They obviously don't want Shazier to play that role, although I'm sure obviously he could play that role, but they want to have him, I guess, be able to attack the line of scrimmage more and do some other things, and maybe take some backs out of the backfield. So that's the Timmons role. And so putting Golden there frees things up and it allows Sean Davis to move back to a more natural safety position. So I like it. And basically what we're doing here is we're talking about playing dime. And, you know, the Steelers aren't, you know, that term wasn't used in the article, but the reality is that's six DBs on the field with truly, you know, three corners and three safeties. So it's I think that's where you'd like to get, Dave, and I really like that. And it's just a question, is Artie Burns ready to actually see snaps in that type of situation?
Yeah, and we'll see. You know, they haven't shown us in any really dime during the preseason. You know, we've been very vanilla, if you will. And look, you know, Timmons running down the seam, you know, we saw it last year, and we saw Timmons beat a few times. He was close in coverage on several of those last season, and he was close a few times. I thought the Friday night against the Saints, but the fact of the matter is, close isn't good enough. You know, you got to be able to take away the middle portion of that field. And boy, did the Saints really the success that the Saints had in that game seemed to be attacking the middle of the field, whether it be against zone up underneath or down the middle of the seam to say a tight end. And yeah, you hit on it. You're going to be facing a Redskins offense with a more than capable tight end in Reed, who can do things like a wide receiver and just simply run away, not only from Timmons, but several inside linebackers in the league currently. So you're going to have to do something to make sure that you're ready for that. And we saw late last year they pulled Timmons off the field in lieu of an extra defensive back. So we could be headed that direction early in 2016. In fact, I think everybody will be surprised if we don't see that at this point.
Yeah, I will certainly be surprised if that's not the way things go. Okay, Dave, what else we want to get into here? What do we got?
Well, you look at a guy like the rookie Gerald Hawkins now going to IR. You have to think this bodes well not only for Chris Hubbard but BJ Finney as well. You have to think that both those guys now make the final 53-man roster overall. You know, had Hawkins been ready to go and healthy, then you probably entertain the either or between Finney and Hubbard, and with Hubbard probably unfortunately having the upper hand, being as how he can give you snaps at tackle. But now I think you'll see both those guys make it, barring the team going out and getting a guy off the waiver wire here. You kind of hit on it with Bruce Gradkowski. I think it's plausible to, because remember, look, you're going to have to carry if you're intending on Cinquez Golson possibly being a designated to return candidate at some point, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks down the line here. Well, then he's going to have to be on your initial 53-man roster. So, can you carve out a space by maybe releasing Gradkowski here during the final round of cuts, accommodate a guy like Golson, and then a few days later you put Golson on IR and then re-sign Bruce Gradkowski to kind of juggle that one roster spot? I think it's really plausible that to see happen here. Running backs, obviously, with Bell going on the reserve suspended list, you're going to have Toussaint and Daryl Richardson both make this roster. I guess the question now is Ladarius Green. There's no signs that he won't start the 2016 season on reserve PUP. However, if he's removed from reserve PUP and isn't able to play in the season opener against the Redskins, well then what are you going to do there, especially now that Roosevelt Nix is a bit banged up and missed the game against the Saints as well too? So It's going to be interesting to see how they handle that roster spot when you're talking about offense. I think we all agree and know who the five wide receivers are. What else do we have on offensive side of the ball as far?
I don't think there's a chance that that Kobe Hamilton or
DeMarcus Ayers
make the team. I think they both got a chance to make the practice squad, but more likely one of them. I think Ayers will get to the practice squad. We can have our conversation about Tyler Matakevich because that could take the next 20 minutes. Both he and Stevie Johnson had interceptions on passes that, you know, Dave, I hate to ever say make the comment now at this point in my elderly age that I could do that. But I think most of our listeners could have made the plays that Stevie Johnson and Tyler Matakevich made in terms of catching those balls and just horrible passes from Grayson. And it just got the Matakevich momentum started up again with everybody thinking he's not going to clear waivers if he gets cut.
And nobody's talking about the Stephen Johnson interception, which was really the tougher of the two.
Right, had to dive behind him. You know, such a bad throw. He had to dive behind, where he was going. But, you look at it, and clearly L.J. Fort and Stevie Johnson are ahead of Matakevich. I mean, L.J. Fort and Vince Williams were the backup inside guys when they went out there. There's no doubt in my mind that L.J. Fort is making the team. That's four inside linebackers. So, like it or not, Stevie Johnson's making the team. That's five inside linebackers. We've got the four outside guys, and then throw Chickalo in there. That's five. That's 10 linebackers. So we haven't seen it. And I won't say it's a zero possibility because of the lack of depth on the defensive backfield because of all the injuries, but they'd have to carry 11 linebackers for Matakevich to make it.
Well, let's see. You got the four outside guys, right? You got Harrison. You got
the two starters and Harrison and Moats, and then Chickalo.
Right. So you got five there, and then it would be surprising if they don't keep five inside guys and Stevie Johnson. Even though some people want him gone, it's hard to imagine that he'll be gone. And then it comes down to what we've talked about all along. You know, it's Fort versus Matakevich, and it's plausible that Matakevich can be kept over Fort. It is plausible. And we'll have to see what the Steelers decide. I mean, you would think that you would maybe have wanted to get a guy like Matakevich more than just the 9 snaps that he got the other night. Well,
that's another telling thing. Yeah, I mean, it's so just there are not enough special teams plays, or it's hard on special teams to see that. You know, Fort's been a good special teams player. I mean, he's been noticeable in the preseason, and that's not a knock on Matakevich. But I'm just saying you got to make a lot of assumptions of what you're seeing in practice about somebody who can do what they can do in special teams, and they're not doing. You know, they're not taking guys down in practice very often.
And it'll be, the Fort and Matakevich, anything can happen during this preseason finale. Both those guys are going to get a lot of playing time here against Carolina. So they have one last chance to state their case for sure. Can you get by with either or? Well, let me put it to you this way. You don't want to get in a situation where you're having to play Fort or Matakevich during the regular season on a defensive side of the football. So I guess what I'm saying is still give some hope to the listeners out there, the Matakevich fan club. It's still plausible that the team could keep Matakevich over Fort.
All right, I'll put it at 1090, but I think there's also a 10% chance they keep them both because, you know, maybe they're only going to have 8 defensive backs to start the season when Senquez Golson goes on the IR. So,
yeah, we can see what happened last year, right? Both Durant Grant and Chickalo made the initial 53 only to find themselves on waivers 24 hours later, right?
Yep.
So don't nail anything in stone after the Tuesday final cut has been made, because we know this year's Steelers team is going to play a lot of games with that initial 53-man roster here starting next week.
Okay, so around the league, the news, we saw Ben Watson with the torn Achilles, Cedric Pierman last night with a broken forearm, the Tony Romo news. Plenty of news out there.
Yeah, what do you make of the report by a Buffalo radio guy this morning that the Steelers reportedly have interest in currently suspended former Buffalo Bills running back Carlos Williams?
Well, Dave, I guess what I find kind of the two interesting things are, and I saw you got this up on the site. One is he's Vince's brother, so there's some value there. The Steelers like Vince, and you know, there's a report maybe Carlos Williams isn't in great shape and all that. Well, you know, you get a chance to continue your NFL career, get your ass in shape, and he's got plenty of time to do it being suspended. Two is he is suspended, so you're getting a guy who's already got a blemish against him on a team that's got guys with blemishes against him and at that position. Three is it's not a position of need. Now, you can say with any position, you look to upgrade it, and he potentially is an upgrade over – you know, Richardson or Toussaint, although I will say maybe I like Toussaint more than most. I think he's a perfectly capable back for the role that he's in. So I believe it all. I just would say the odds of something getting done are, you know, not slim and none, but unlikely.
Yeah, especially during his suspension time. I think that's a Captain Obvious statement there. The thing is you go back and you read a report that Rex Ryan said comments made about Carlos back in June about his weight. Where is he at now in his weight? You know, is he closer to being the Carlos Williams that actually looked pretty damn decent during his rookie season? You could make the argument that having him in Pittsburgh right there next to Vince Williams would keep him on the straight and narrow, but there's no guarantee that. Look, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, as the old saying goes. It's easy to draw the line to Carlos to Pittsburgh, but the thing is until I don't think this signing is intimate at this point, but maybe he's definitely a guy that they have on their Rolodex in case something happens during these first three or four games of the season. I mean, regardless, you're probably, even after Le'Veon Bell returns from his suspension, you're probably only – I mean, you only have room for really three running backs on this roster, and you would have to think that one of those guys is going to be either Toussaint or Darrell Richardson. So probably just adding his name to the Rolodex right now.
Yeah, I think that's it. And you know, the Harbaugh had a lot to say about preseason games. I guess maybe we'll the league's going to continue to evaluate this stuff, but I think this is the same conversation we have every year. And then
let me throw a name out here for you that got released or waived by the Tennessee Titans. Bleedy Ray Wilson, remember him?
Nope.
The former third round draft pick in 2013 of the Titans. He is a guy that the Steelers had in for a pre-draft visit back in 2013. Now, if you remember what happened last year around this time, what happened? Ross Cockrell during this round of cuts was turned loose by the Buffalo Bills. He was, you know, he sat on the street for a couple of days, and then the Steelers signed him.
They signed him after the last preseason game, which was interesting.
Right. So now, you know, you have a guy like Bleedy Ray Wilson, who the Titans apparently tried to work some at safety during the offseason as well. You talk about a 6'1", 195-pound guy, and the Steelers had interest in him prior to the 2013 draft. So this is a team that I think when the dust finally settles here, I think they're going to sign add another young defensive back to this roster. So I think you have to circle his name as a possibility of being a guy similar to what they did last year with Ross Cockrell. So keep his name in the back of your mind. He definitely had his problems at Tennessee, but you know, if the Steelers think they can maybe salvage him the way they did Ross Cockrell, he would be an obvious guy.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. They're going to get somebody. So, you know, and then a big tub of stew got released this morning by the Patriots, Terrence Knighton. So, I don't know, David. Doesn't look like a position of need, but would you kick the tires or make a phone call? Or There's just no room at the
end.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any room. He would have to play for the minimum for starters. And, I mean, if Bill Belichick turns you loose this time of year, what does that mean, you know? I just don't see it, David. I really don't see it with a guy like the big tub of stew. That will go down. Somebody tweeted me that this morning, David. That'll go down as one of the all-time great moments on the Terrible Podcast.
Yeah, Tony Romo gets hurt, and all of a sudden, I guess Jerry's son didn't rule out him being Bledsoe, meaning Dak Prescott comes in and plays great and gets the job. I mean, Dak Prescott's been really good in the preseason, but, that might be a little premature.
He has looked good, though, and boy, David, I think it was my first mock draft of this year. I had the Steelers taking Dak Prescott in either the third or fourth round. And this, I think, it was, of course, after his DUI. I got lit up like a Christmas tree by most of the commenters on that mock draft there. I think he's going to have to start, one would think, for Dallas. He's going to have his growing pains for sure. But I think there might be something there with him, David.
I'm with you. He is a talented guy. So we'll see. And he appears to have picked it up pretty quickly. Dave, let's finish with
Paul Kruger. Would you have any interest with him?
I don't know where the roster spot is for him. You got to think a lot of him because obviously, you know, you get him and a guy like Chicolo is gone and where's he going to go? Do you have playing time for him? What are you going to promise him? So, I mean, I think he's been an interesting player. I do. But I don't know. I see the fit. So, if it's an upgrade, it's an upgrade.
The thing is, you would have to be able to get him for the NFL minimum right now. I'm not sure another team isn't out there willing to possibly pay him more. You'd have to think he'd seriously consider going back to Baltimore, maybe. Depending on how their lines are. He's a situational player at this point of his career. And I think, you know, I know several people are kind of asking about him. I think if you did go out and get a guy like Kruger, it would come at the expense of a guy like Chicolo. Plain and simple. I mean, you can't have him. Yeah, you can only have 53, right? So... unless you cut both Matakevich and LJ Fort, right, and carried four inside linebackers and then an extra outside guy in the form of Paul Kruger, but I don't see it happening. I think Kruger still thinks he's worth more than NFL minimum here.
Okay, Dave, let's touch on the hot-button topic of the weekend, Colin Kaepernick.
I was afraid you were going to go here.
Well, I'm just going to go here briefly because, you know, I don't want to start a firestorm, and this is but my issue on this whole thing is, as many people have pointed out, this is what the country was built on, is the freedom of expression, and that's obviously what this is in this case, and free speech. I will say... whatever you think of Kaepernick, take 5 minutes and listen to what he said at his locker yesterday. He stood and answered every question from the media. There are going to be plenty of our listeners who don't agree at all with his stance, but it's a constitutionally guaranteed right, and I'll respect that aspect of it, and I respect the fact that yesterday he answered all the questions. I was watching some of the O.J. Simpson documentary last night, and it was very interesting to see OJ's role in the late 60s of him not getting involved in any of the things that Jim Brown and Bill Russell and Muhammad Ali or Cassius Clay and all these other guys were actively involved in civil rights, and OJ's active decision to stay away from that. So there's something there. If it increases the discussion and increases people's intelligence and awareness of the situation, it's a positive. I understand the respect aspect that people are criticizing him for. I don't think it's disrespectful to the troops or any of that stuff. I think that's a bunch of nonsense that people are conflating topics that aren't conflated. And lastly, I'll just say that I've always been a bit skeptical on, you know, God Bless America at sporting events and things like that, where teams try to capitalize. And that's how this all started. Teams were trying to capitalize on patriotism to get people to go to baseball games back in the day, way back when. And it becomes a tradition, and then tradition becomes something you're not allowed to question. So, we can, you know, that's another debate for another day. But trying to get the jingoistic patriotism aspect at a sporting event that, you know, because there might be a military tie-in, to me, you know, those are interesting topics as well.
You know, I respect his right to do what he didn't do, which is, you know, stand. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think there's better ways to possibly maybe use your platform to draw attention to it. It's, like it or not, it's become a distraction to a team. And let's face it, Colin Kaepernick's spot on the 49ers 53-man roster wasn't all that locked up this year anyway. So has he hurt himself by taking this stand, you know, and possibly, I mean, it's a distraction, right? I mean, would you view it as a distraction for the 49ers right now?
I don't know. I don't think any of the other guys, it's not going to affect what they do. Maybe there are a couple extra bodies in the locker room, but most of those guys are going to be there anyway. The guys are in the locker room. So I think it's – I don't think it's a big distraction. The attention that they – you know, maybe Jim – maybe Chip, my man Chip Kelly's going to answer some questions that he wouldn't have had to answer, but I don't think it's a big deal. But I think you're right. He may get cut either or, so.
Yeah, I won't be shocked if he is cut loose here fairly soon, for sure. What are you doing there, rummaging through the kitchen drawers?
No, we just had some piece of paper I had to throw away, so sorry about that.
Okay. What else we have left here?
Nothing. I mean, we got the Tomlin presser tomorrow, so maybe we'll sneak one in Wednesday morning and discuss. You know, we'll have the next round of cuts and see what Tomlin had to say.
That sounds good. And you already mentioned the loss of Ben Watson. I thought Harbaugh's comments were kind of off base. Look, I understand he's sad and mad that Benjamin Watson went down, but let's not pin this actually on a preseason game, because this was a non-contact first play. You know, might as well outlaw, you know, do away with running, because that's basically how Benjamin Watson hurt himself. And isn't this the same Harbaugh who tried to have a padded practice? kind of sticking his foot in his mouth here. Look, I understand several coaches and fans around the league thinking the preseason's too long. Will they eventually shorten it? Probably. Is it going to happen anytime in the near future? Probably not. Then you have what happened. I mean, the injuries are part of football, unfortunately. And even if you just limit these things to scrimmages and all like that, you know, you're still going to have injuries happen as long as there's tackling involved and running involved, because, as I said, that Benjamin Watson injury had no contact involved with it whatsoever. So I kind of got a chuckle out of a few of the things that Harbaugh said after that game. But, all right, we'll get after this again either on, Tuesday or Wednesday or Wednesday or Thursday?
What? Wednesday and Friday. Yep. Let's get back. We'll get on a roll.
That sounds good. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David and Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the show, please go to SteelersDepot.com and hit that donate button in the upper navigational bar there. David, all right. Have a good day, and we'll talk again on Wednesday.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.